Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jamie, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with one of my favorite people in the whole world. She's fun. She's beautiful. She's a great fighter. She's lucky. She's from Alaska. How you doing, Lauren? What's going on?
I'm good, man. Thanks. That's a lot of things that I am.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, you probably left a few out too.
Absolutely. You look great, by the way. What's new?
Man, fuck, a lot of shit. We opened up a couple businesses out here in Texas. I opened up a Deep End Fitness in Houston. Joe just opened up a Henzo Gracie. We're working on opening up another Henzo Gracie before the end of the year. I've been going out and training with John Danaher out in Austin a little bit. So that's been cool.
Wow.
Getting ready for a jiu-jitsu competition coming up in a couple weeks. We got a vacation planned. All kinds of shit. Yeah, we got a lot of shit going on.
Yeah, I see you diving. I didn't know that's like your business. I thought that was just like a hobby you were doing.
Yeah, no, it's my business. So we brought it out here to Houston, and it's badass, man. It's a really cool thing.
How do you open up a pool, and aren't you worried about people drowning? Like, how do you do that?
I'm a lifeguard. I went and got my lifeguard certification. So it's wow. My job to make sure they don't drown. Yeah.
And how deep is the pool?
13 feet.
Fuck. 13 feet pool. You go there, and to people like, so if I want to learn how to scuba dive, or I want to learn how to snorkel better or just swim better, I come to your place and like learn that?
Yeah, we don't teach like scuba diving really, but we teach a lot of like just to get comfortable in the water, get a really good workout, get in shape. We like really practice a lot of things that increase CO2 tolerance. So like your conditioning will get really high, your CO2 tolerance will get really high, your water confidence will get really high, and that tends to make people confident in other areas of their life, but especially like athletes, especially in sport, it's really done a lot for my conditioning, so I'm pumped.
So you don't get tired anymore?
I don't get tired anymore.
Wow, that is amazing. That's amazing. I never even thought about that, like how that could help in MMA.
I mean, a lot of fighters like already swim for their camps. A lot of fighters kind of know this, that like swimming and being in the water is like one of the best forms of cardio you can do, especially for grappling or fighting, because it's a full body workout. It obviously limits your intake of oxygen. So it's like, it's the best thing that you can do, and it's low impact. So a lot of fighters love it in the first place because you can do it without getting injured. And then it really, really increases like, your like oxygen exchange in your body, you know. But so other fighters have been doing Deep End Fitness for a long time. We just didn't have one in Houston until I started it. And so me and another guy, he swam in the Navy. He's been swimming his whole life. Like he's a blue belt in jiu-jitsu. Like he wanted to start one as well. And so we started it together. His name's Diego. But there's other fighters like Alima Leigh McFarlane, Dominic Cruz, Liz Carmouche. They all do Deep End Fitness.
So you like go out and you scout places. So you're looking for like pools going out of business.
No, I mean, if we found one going out of business and they let me buy it, I would hop on that so fast. But actually we just like rent the pool space. So we just rent a couple hours from the pool and then we get everybody in there. So yeah, it's pretty easy. It's like, it's pretty easy to set up. It's a lot of fun. I really like it.
And you have people sign at the waiver saying, if you drown, you can't sue me.
Yeah, we do. We have a waiver. It's pretty simple like that.
That's amazing. Have you had anybody ask you if they want to shoot like porn in the pool or anything like crazy?
Nobody's asked me yet, but I knew as soon as you and I started talking about this, I knew it would probably come up on this podcast.
Of course. Bill, thanks for, by the way, speaking of porn, Bill, you show up to a professional podcast with your shirt off, wearing like a bowling shirt. Like what is wrong with you?
Is it the bowling shirt or is it the fact that I showed up late?
So you're late, by the way, you're late. This is Bill Dawes, by the way. Lucky Lauren Murphy, fought for the title, ranked number, what are you, ranked number two now? Number three? What are you?
No, ranked? I think I just lost to Andrade, so I think I'm like number seven now. They kicked me down pretty far.
That's all right. Bill Dawes is a black belt in jiu-jitsu, and he's on like four shows. He's on a show right now where he shaved his head to play a psychopath. Congratulations on that. And then I saw a video. Yeah, what's the show?
What would I shave my head for?
Yeah.
Well, there's a show on HBO called The Other Two. Have you heard about it? It's the Lorne Michaels show.
No.
I basically just played like Jeff Bezos, but like a billionaire with plastic surgery. It was small. I was like, can I wear a ball cap? They're like, no, you're an actor. You don't have decisions.
Oh, wow.
Shave your head.
That's still pretty well. It's grown back. At first, I was worried about you. I was like, oh, man. but it looks good. It looks good. Lauren, were you surprised that Andrade lost her next fight to Jean?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought she would look better than that. I think, because who did she fight in between? She fought somebody like on short notice in between. She fought Erin Blanchfield after she fought me. And Erin just smoked her. And I was like, man, it looked like Andrade didn't even train for that fight. I was like, looked like she just came off a vacation feeling all good because she just had a great performance against me. And then she fought Jan. I was like, oh, this would be a great fight. And that chick, Jan Shannon, however you say her name, she's really fucking good. So yeah, it kind of sucks. Like, you always, when people beat you, you're always like, fuck, I hope they go on to win forever. But like, whatever. It's fucking MMA. It's all good. Like, it's fine. Oh.
What about
do you think you had an off day with her or off night, or do you think you can beat her normally?
Yeah, I think if you had a fight 10 times, I mean, you'd have 10 different results. Like, I think I definitely did not have a performance that I'm like capable of, you know, in that fight for sure. Just kind of, I just had some trouble making some adjustments and ended up getting really, really unfocused. I feel like when I'm focused though, when I'm having a good day, like I'm really hard to beat. But in that fight, I just kind of lost it. So I don't know.
What makes you lose your focus? Sorry.
I was a little like I had a lot of trouble like adjusting to her height. And then I was like fighting going backwards. Like, I remember going out there to start the fight and I was like, cool, I'm going to like find myself. I'm going to dance around. I'm going to get really comfortable out here. And it kind of gave her an opportunity to just start coming forward. And that's terrible. That was a bad choice on my part, you know? And so I started like fighting, going backwards, and I could just never get my rhythm back. Every time I came forward, it was like she didn't move. And then every time she came forward at me, I had a lot of trouble like adjusting to her height and getting her timing. So she was coming forward so well, and then I was backing up, and my posture was getting really tall. And she loves that. That's like Andrade's perfect fight. That's how she knocks everybody out, right? Is she gets them backing up and she gets them tall, and it just so happens like I have a head full of rocks, so it's hard to knock me out. But like, you know, like she did a really good job of backing me up and getting me out of position. And if you can't adjust to a fight like that, then it's going to end up looking like pretty one-sided, you know?
Were you surprised that Valentina lost?
No, actually, I really thought Grasso had a really, really good chance. I thought Grasso had probably the best chance of all the contenders. Like, she's so comfortable boxing and her cardio is so good. She never, ever gets tired. She never gets out of position. Her hands never come away from her face. It's really hard to like shake her or get her out of her element, you know? And she like wasn't afraid of Valentina going in there. She's like just as fast as Valentina. And I thought Grasso had a really good chance.
That was crazy. I was shocked, but Valentina, I feel like, has been close to losing for a while. It was and I feel like the, you know, people make these, you know, it's kind of like what not how John Jones fought his last time, but like it was like guys were slowly getting closer and closer to beating him, you know, mm-hmm. or Anderson Silva, because people make these people out to be such gods or females to be such gods that like it becomes almost bigger than the actual fighter. So, by the way, congrats on your husband starting a jiu-jitsu. So he started his own school?
Yeah, well, it's a Henzo Gracie, but he's the head instructor and like the owner of the school. So
nice.
Yeah.
Now, where is it?
Yeah, where is it?
It's in Pearland, Texas. So right outside Houston. It's like in South Houston.
I know you guys are thinking, Adam, how do you have so much energy? You just go, 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 go. I'll tell you, our next partner is AG1, which is the daily foundational nutrition supplement that supports whole body health. I drink it literally every day. Now, I gave AG1 a try because I was feeling run down. I'm like, ugh, can't do this with the kid and the wife and the career and just nonstop, go, go, go. But I'm telling you, I am feeling so great. I got a boost in energy. I feel better. My support system in my body, it tastes great and I feel great. And I drink AG1 in the morning before working out, doing my fight camp, and it makes me feel unstoppable, ready to take on the whole day. Come on, day. Bring it, people. Okay. So I support this. I'm all for it. Okay. A lot of our athletes drink AG1. Okay. And because I know it's important for these fighters to take care of their bodies, not including Kelvin Gastelum. I'm kidding. Kelvin does it too. So if a comprehensive solution is what you need from your supplement routine, try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/MMA roasted. That's drinkag1.com/MMA roasted. Check it out. And then how do you like get people to come?
Oh, everybody knows Joe. Everybody knows that he's a really good instructor. And we've been in the jiu-jitsu scene here a long time. And like, he's been teaching for a long time at other Henzo Gracie schools. And so, I mean, they'll advertise and stuff. Like they'll advertise through social media and they'll advertise with flyers, and word of mouth is super powerful, but mostly everybody kind of already knows who he is and really enjoys the way that he teaches.
I thought you're getting better looking with age, by the way. This is good.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm like a fine wine, baby.
I'm telling you. Good work. Everyone still gets mad at me because I made the joke about how, like, you know, Lauren Murphy, you know, she was on heroin, this and that, and then she blah, 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 and then she did this and that, and now she's ranked number 3 in the world. So if you want to succeed, do heroin, right? So I like,
yeah,
that's hilarious.
It's a good
thing.
That's
such a good joke.
And people are like, not funny to make fun of somebody. I'm like, the girl who I'm making fun of is laughing. They're like, not cool. I went to high school with Lauren, and that was not, and I didn't like you when she, and I'm like, leave me alone. Like, I like,
yeah. Oh my gosh.
When I'm taking jiu-jitsu and I roll with someone who like is super strong and super focused and they're kind of new and they give me trouble, I'm like, this is an ex-junkie who's now clean, and they're putting all their focus into jiu-jitsu. You can tell there's an energy that people like with addictive personalities have. So you're kind of right, Adam. Like the people who are going to be addicted to heroin are going to be the people who are going to be UFC champions too. It's not uncommon. Because it's an addiction to something, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Lauren is like jacked and just the sweetest human being. And I liked her the first time I met her. I liked her. She was in the crowd and I was like, you know, who likes it when guys come in their face? And she's like, me. And I was like,
I know, my husband's back there like, yes. He was so
fun. I was like, this is my new. So the fights this week, we got some big fights coming up this Saturday night. We got Volkanovski versus Yair Rodriguez. Lauren, who do we like in this fight?
Volk. It's hard to pick against Volk, huh? He's another one of those where it's like, God, he's just going to keep winning and winning and winning. And like, who's going to beat him, you know? But I don't know. I think Yair's got a good chance, but I think Ilya Topuria's got the best chance.
Dude, that guy came out of nowhere. I was like, there's no one beating Bryce Mitchell. My dad got so mad because my dad's like, I want to place a bet. Who's your lock? I'm like, this guy, Bryce Mitchell. He's 15-0. He's got like
Southern weird strength trailer park.
Yeah, he does. I'm That's like the only thing comparable to an addict is like the farm boy strength.
I'm like, no one comes close to him. And then that dude just beat the shit out of him. And then where did that guy come from? Like, have you known about that guy for a while or?
No, I don't. Yeah, he came out of nowhere. Just a bad motherfucker.
Oh my God.
What promotion did he come from? Do you know the promotion he came from?
I don't even, I think the guy's from like Spain. I don't know where he's even from. He's just a monster. And he's just does everything perfect. He's one of these guys, everything he does. You're like, man. So Volkanovski, all right. And then Bill, who do we like this week?
Volkanovski for sure. I mean, I feel like he is, for some reason, I feel like he's always underrated. Like at this point, he's pound for pound, probably the best fighter right now, right?
He is. Well, he lost to Islam, but I thought he won against Islam. But
I think it's just because he's Russian with an Australian accent. People just get confused by his brand and they think he's going to lose.
Probably.
You know what I mean? Like if he had like a Russian accent, people are like, oh, don't fuck with him. But he's like, hey, guys. All right.
Dude, I saw a video of him though playing with his two daughters. And it's just something about these guys that are like family guys. Just seems super focused. When you see guys partying and having fun and at the club and popping bottles, you just know it's a matter of time before this is not going to work out for them.
100%.
Except for John Jones. Seems to be the only guy that can make that work.
Is he still partying? Is John Jones still partying?
I mean, I don't know if he ever stopped.
But
like McGregor is a perfect example of like, you just can't do it. It's just when you see all these other guys with their kids at home and they're making breakfast and they're getting up and they got a wife, you're just like, there's something different about it. It's just,
yeah, for sure.
Super relaxed and focused. Moreno versus Pantoja. I didn't realize Pantoja beat him twice because at first I thought this was going to be a cakewalk for Moreno.
Yeah.
I'm like, has anyone ever beat you twice, Lauren?
I don't even think I've ever fought anybody twice.
Yeah. Because sometimes people think that that Moreno would have the advantage because he lost twice, and the other guy thinks, "Well, I beat him twice, and this and that." But this Pantoja kid's something special, and I think he's gonna beat Moreno. Who wins this fight, Lauren?
I think you're right. I think it'll be Pantoja.
Whoa! When did they fight though? How long ago were these fights? It was like
five years. But Moreno. 5 years. But here's what concerned me a little bit. Moreno, they made a camp for him in Vegas. He has his own camp. And when people start having their own camps, I feel like that's the first, it's never good when you have your own camp. You start bringing in people, especially just to, that you could beat up. Like when has that ever worked out?
Interesting.
I can't think of, I mean, maybe Colby with the MMA Masters, but even that, like he's not the champion.
He had his own camp out in Arizona, right? That's like his gym, isn't it?
Who, Cejudo?
Yeah,
but he has the Pitbull brothers, and then he had Korean Zombie, and then he had like Joe. I mean, it just seemed like these other. It's like I was watching this countdown special. Like, oh, Moreno has a top secret camp in Las Vegas, and I'm like, oh god. Robert Whittaker is fighting Dricus Duplessis. This dude gets the shit beaten out of him every fight. And then comes back and wins. It happened against Derek Brunson. It happened against Darren Till. And eventually, that is not a good strategy for winning fights.
Yeah.
So I like Robert Whittaker in this fight. Lauren?
I love me some Robert Whittaker. There's another family dude for you.
Yeah. Bill?
Yeah, same. I love Whittaker.
Dan Hooker. Who, thank God he won his last fight because he was on like a 5-fight losing streak. And he fought guy that went for like 90 heel hooks every time. The guy went for like a rolling heel hook every single time, which.
Who won for the heel hook?
The last guy he fought. He fought this guy, Claudio Puelles. He went for like 30 rolling heel hooks every single time. And to his credit, all his wins were by heel hook. But
really? In the UFC?
No. Yeah, knee bars, I think.
Yeah, knee bars. Right, knee bars. But, you know, a good coach is going to know.
Have you ever fought a guy, someone, Lauren, that you like, okay, this person's a specialist and we got to just prepare for that?
Let me think about that. Not really. Not like that. Not like a Ryan Hall or like, yeah. I can't even think of anybody in women's MMA that's that specialized.
Who? Yeah, what does that say? A woman got a heel hook in a UFC contest. I've never seen that.
It used to be that girl who got divorced, who's hot.
Mackenzie
Dern. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, I met her and her ex-husband, and the guy was the nicest guy. He was like this surfer guy, half black, had like a cool afro thing going, cute girl. And then I'm like, you know, you meet people, you're like, oh, this is the perfect couple. Like, this is the perfect couple. Kind of Joe and Lauren, I think, are almost the perfect couple, but I could also see that they're both kind of like, they're probably getting into some crazy fights, right? Which I like.
You're not wrong.
But then they get divorced, and this girl, she went from having like a two pack to like a fucking eight pack. She started, my wife knew, because I'm like, I don't think they're together anymore. We looked at their Instagram and it was just her showing her ass and like 19 photos in a row. And my wife's like, oh, he definitely cheated, because that's one of those things. She's like twerking in every video. So it turns out, I guess he was, according to the TikTok, which, you know, is very reliable, and some guy, he was like emotionally abusive, but she was hitting him. And now, I don't know if it's true, all allegedly. And now she's paying child support, like $5,000 a month or something, to him. So everyone's like, oh, what an asshole. And other people are like, fucking, he should get a statue for this. And it's about time. He's our hero.
Men's rights.
Yeah. Lauren, thoughts on this?
On Mackenzie's divorce?
Yes. I know it's very important.
You know what? I'm not even going to go there.
But by the way, the thing you said about Instagram, it's so true. You'll see all these photos, like a couple photos, and all of a sudden a post will be like just an inspirational quote about overcoming pain and hardship. You're like, oh, that's when the breakup happened.
Yes. And it's almost like Back to the Future when like they look at the pictures and all of a sudden the person disappears. Remember, like, that's like the...
Exactly. It's so
like the
funny.
Same photo, but that person's not there anymore. You know, like, what the fuck did that happen? But yeah, so Mackenzie Dern. And then another thing that's going on is Brian Ortega, who, like, the first time I met Ortega, like, I felt so stupid because I was walking to a fight. I was like by myself, and I go, look, there's Brian. I didn't say it to myself. I go, Ortega, and I almost walked into somebody while looking over at him, and then somebody like kind of snuffed me, like. Like, watch where you're going. And then him and Ortega have like a laugh. And I was like, ah, fuck these. Like, I felt like the nerd kid that like dropped his food on his, like, in front of the whole, you know, mess hall.
But so then, cafeteria.
So yeah. So then Ortega had been like, rumors he was banging Halle Berry. He was banging some other girl. I think like Demi Lovato back when, before she had her makeover. And then I'll say that. Polite in this. And then he was banging this girl Tracy Cortez, who's just like a 10 out of 10, right? So then, I don't know if you've been following this, Bill, it's very, very big. So now they broke up, right? And everyone's happy about this. And then Ortega tweets out, hey, did everyone think that I fumbled the ball? I didn't fumble it. I dropped it on purpose. I spiked it and I moved on, right?
Oh my God.
So yeah. So then she writes like, I've taken the high road about this. Oh, no. And then what's his name comes in here? That guy, you know what I'm talking about.
Paulo Costa.
So Paulo Costa posts a picture of him and Ortega. And he's got, like, his hand on her ass. And he's like, and I guess it was a joke because he's got a girlfriend who was in the next picture. Like, fuck you. Like this is not funny. Because then everyone starts writing, like, Costa's fucking, like, yay, Paulo Costa. And it's just all this drama on Twitter, but I don't know. Like,
but you know what? It's funny because I remember when you Ortega before. You're like, how does he get so many women? How could he not? He is hot. There's a lot of objectively hot guys.
Here's what happens, Bill, and I'm sure Lauren will attest to this. It's like the Pete Davidson effect, right? You always get the hot girl first, like the Kim Kardashian or whoever he had, and then every other hot girl competes with that girl.
It's like
trickle down economics with women.
Dude, it's like back when I used to, when I was a stripper in a play, right? But it was like a Tony Tina's wedding and it was real people involved that you didn't know was in the play. I would always get like the hot girl. And then other girls, they didn't want me, but they wanted to show the other girl like, oh, I could get him. It's like a handbag that like some other, these people are accessories. That Ortega's an accessory, Davidson, and all these chicks want to have the hot fucking handbag of the moment. It's not about Ortega, it's about beating out the other chick. Am I right, Lauren?
You know, you might have a point. There's certain women out there that definitely are like that. But also, Pete Davidson must have a hell of a personality. It has to be that because, he must be just hung like a horse because I can't see what the attraction is about. I don't get it.
I think what happens also is he's one of these guys that when he first starts dating a girl, he spends like 9 hours on the phone with them, just dumping all his drama on them but then making them feel special. And then these girls want to save him and they get emotionally invested in him. And then he threatens to kill himself. And it's a lot. It's a lot.
Are you making that up? Is that a true? Is that?
I don't know if he threatens to kill himself, but he's in a hospital right now as we speak.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's back.
No way, really?
He's back in a mental hospital.
I think it's because Matt Rife got famous.
Probably. He fucking stole his thunder.
Maybe he's a sex addict.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting some good fucking sex. That's the thing. somebody was talking about like a sex addict is like, it's like, is it really an addiction if you pay for it to have it, you know? But so all right. So Jalen Turner, he's a guy that was scared of spiders. And then he all of a sudden had to overcome his fear. So he went out and got like 400 tarantulas and he breeds them. He's a black dude that breeds tarantulas as a hobby.
That's disgusting. That's disgusting.
That sounds cool.
no, it does not.
I just love the idea that the thing that you're afraid of, you become like an expert in it.
Right, right, right. It's like, you know, that's like how I became an expert in stinky vaginas.
If Adam becomes like a gynecologist and is like messing around and... You know, fucked up pussy all day long.
You're not kidding about that. And not that my wife has a perfect pussy, by the way. I mean, I don't want anyone to try to ask her for pictures, but you know, I could not be with someone with a smelly vagina. That would just because it's like you got to bring it up, you know, and it's hard to bring it up to somebody. So Bo Nickel. So Bo Nickel. I don't know if you know about this guy, Bill. He was a wrestling.
Yeah, we interviewed. We had him on the show, right?
No, we never had him. We had other guys that were – we have Bryce Mitchell. Bo Nickel. We never had Bo. So Bo, he was like NCAA champion, I think, 3 or 4 times. Amazing. He would have made the Olympics, but David Taylor was like the best ever, and that was the one guy in his weight class. And he's super cocky, super arrogant, a guy that's like, bring on the best guys in the world. Bring on Chimaev. Bring on Israel.
No, we did have him. He was shirtless and drinking a beer, and we talked about his match with Gordon Ryan.
No, that wasn't him. I like that guy though. That wasn't him.
Oh, that wasn't. Okay, sorry.
That was the guy that got lost in his last Bellator fight. He got knocked out.
Oh, okay, sorry.
But I love that guy. But he's not. But he trained with Bo Nickel.
That's why. So Bo looks like he's unstoppable, right?
Oh, his last fight,
he does.
He came out with a spinning wheel kick his last fight, which was terrible. and then he kneed the guy in the balls accidentally and then submitted him. So, but he went up against Gordon Ryan a couple times in jiu-jitsu, and he tossed Gordon Ryan on his head, but lost the jiu-jitsu match, but ended up like holding his own times 10. So he's fighting this guy who took the fight on 4 days' notice. This guy, Val Woodburn, who is a 13-1 underdog. It's like plus 1300, right? Is that how he, and the guy is from Brazil. I think he's Brazilian. He's huge. I watched a couple of his fights. I don't know. I mean, the smart money is obviously on Bo Nickel, but Bo Nickel, they train for somebody else. And this, no one knows anything about this guy other than he's 7-0. Lauren, have you ever heard of this guy, Val Woodburn?
No, I never heard of him. Mm-mm.
This might be a fun, I don't know.
What's his background? What's Woodburn's background? Is it jiu-jitsu?
Man, let me see. Hold on.
I still, at this point, I will still pick the wrestler over the jiu-jitsu guy.
Yeah, I'm still picking Bo Nickel.
I mean, but we know Bonickel's never been hit before. We have no idea if this guy could take a punch.
Joe said Bonickel ain't game planning for shit. He's just going to go out there and do what Bonickel does.
I mean, we have no idea if this guy could. We have no idea. Now that it's summer, you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals for sunny, active days. I know I am, okay? And Factor, which is America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit. Not number two, number one. It can help you fuel up fast with flavorful and nutritious ready-to-eat meals delivered right to your door. You'll save time, you'll eat well, and you'll stay on track reaching your goals, okay? Are you too busy with summer plans to cook? I am. It takes me forever to cook, and I ruin the meals. But I want to make sure that I'm eating well, and so should you. Well, with Factor, skip the trip to the grocery store and skip the chopping and the prepping and the cleaning, okay? While still getting the flavor and the nutritional quality you need. The Factor is fresh, never frozen. Their meals are ready in just 2 minutes. That's right, 2 minutes. Although when I do stuff in 2 minutes, my wife complains, okay? But not with Factor. All you got to do is heat and enjoy and then get back outside and soak up this warm weather. Vitamin D, all right? Looking for calorie-conscious options this summer? You can try the delicious, dietitian-approved calorie-smart meals with around or less than 550 calories per serving. That's nothing. That's, you burn that off, I don't know, jogging, all right? You need an extra boost to support your wellness goals this summer? I do. We'll try the Protein Plus meals with 30 grams of protein. Hell yeah. Get rough. Look at these guns, people, all right? So check it out. Check out Factor. Head to factormeals.com/roasted50 and use code roasted50 and get 50% off your first box. That's half off your first box. That's code roasted50 at factormeals.com/roasted50 to get 50% off your first box. All right. Check it out. You're going to thank me later. I got this cute dog. She's teething right now, but she's adorable. All right. No more biting. You got to get some chew toys. So thank you guys so much. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. And check out Factor right now. Grand slams, no hitters, and double plays are back. That's right. And there's no better place to get on the MLB action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook and official partner of Major League Baseball. And guess what, people? New customers in Massachusetts get in on the action with $200 in bonus bets. Guaranteed. When you place your first $5 bet, just sign up at FanDuel.com/Boston. And finally, you can bet on all your favorite sports from the money line to point spreads to player props and more. I love it. Okay. If I'm going to bet, I'm going to go on FanDuel. So now bet on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Don't miss your chance to get $200 of bonus bets. Win or lose, how great is that? Okay, visit FanDuel.com/Boston and make every moment more. That's FanDuel, the official partner of Major League Baseball. You got to be 21 and older and present in Massachusetts. Okay, your first online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable. And bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Help is here. So is hope. Hope and help. Gambling help line ma.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. That's FanDuel. Check it out now. Right now, you want to bet? That's where you go. Okay, so Valentin Woodburn. So here's one of his fights from 8 months ago. I'm going to show you guys his fight.
For combat night!
Yeah, he fought in combat night.
Here we go.
Night Pro Orlando. Let me know what you guys think. So not him. It's this other guy. I mean, I wouldn't want to fight that guy. Look at that guy.
The guy on the right?
Yeah.
He's a black belt.
He's a monster.
Yeah, he's fighting Bonickel. Got big legs. So let's see how he does. She's got green hair.
Yeah, but
okay, hold on.
But that also looks like
let's see. Okay, so here we go. Look how he's pretty strong. Look, obviously we have no idea. All right, hold on. Let me see some highlights.
I think Bo would have already taken him down.
Yeah.
Like, in the time it took to show us this video, Bo already has him on the ground.
Yeah.
There you go.
Very desperate shot. He's hurt.
So here's him when he wins the fight.
Wesley's just keeping that hand trap, and now he's in trouble. He's always just able to find himself out of trouble.
All right, so we don't really know much about him, other than he's good at hugging.
yeah, and also, this is probably like a non-USADA fight, you know what I mean? Because his shoulders look pretty round.
Right, but that's 5 days. Do you even get tested? Lauren, talk to me. Do you get tested in 5 days?
I don't know. Actually, how does that work if USADA's on short notice? I mean, they're going to test him for the fight. They'll test him, like, the day of the fight, the night of.
But it's not going to come in on time.
No, if it turns up positive, they'll just, like, overturn the results. But Bo's going to beat him anyway, so it won't matter.
All right.
I think the UFC's like, whatever, just put a warm body in there with him and get him back on another card quick.
Then we got Robbie Lawler versus Nico Price, which is on the undercard. I think this is Robbie
Lawler. I thought Robbie Lawler retired.
I think so did he. This fight is he's 29-16. Nico Price is what's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up, Adam? How are you?
How are you, man? Congrats on everything.
Oh, thanks a lot, brother.
Your academy.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a busy year for us, man. But we're excited. Good problems to have being this busy, you know.
So Joe is a Navy SEAL and
not quite.
has 47 confirmed kills.
Let's run with that. That sounds great.
Hey, Joe, is anyone in your life more charming than Renzo Gracie?
Dude, Renzo, like, there's not a – if you don't like Renzo Gracie, something's wrong with you. That guy is just super kind, you know?
Yeah. He makes everyone feel like they're the most important person in the world.
What a very – just incredibly friendly guy to everyone, you know? Like, not when the camera's on, like, when it's convenient, always.
Yeah. He's the best.
That one fight where he broke his arm and kept fighting. You see that?
Yeah, legendary.
The guy just
That's the only picture he has in his office is him with Sakuraba with his broken arm. It's like the only picture of any of his fights in his New York office.
What a moment.
That's badass. So Nico Price has 5 kids and he got suspended for marijuana at one point. If you got 5 kids, you should be required to take marijuana.
Yeah. Give that guy a break.
Fucking A. He's fighting Robbie Lawler. Who do you like in that fight, Joe?
Between Nico and Robbie, man, Robbie's so tough to ever pick against. That guy's just a legend, you know. But that legendary status usually comes with coming to the end of your career. Nico's ran into a couple of pretty tough ones lately, too, though. I love how dynamic Nico is. Like, you know, he's got that crazy knockout off his back twice. He got a knockout with a hammer fist off his back and an upkick knockout. Really, really dangerous guy from everywhere. I think it's maybe Nico's time to be on the come up. I'm going with Nico Price on that one.
Yeah, I think maybe you're right. Robbie looked great against Nick Diaz, but that was not the same Nick Diaz that we've seen. Also, Alonzo Menifield, do you ever train with him?
I have not.
Oh, he's fighting this week. He's a ex-football player. He went to like 5 different group homes, adopted.
Great. He's got Pat Barry in his corner, I think.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
good. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's got Pat Barry in his corner.
Yeah, no, Pat Barry called me one time because I wanted to have Alonzo at the MMA Awards. And I'm like, fuck, I made one too many Rose jokes about And then it was like, Adam, what's up? I'm like, and he's like, yo, hey. I see you trying to reach Alonzo. I'm like, oh, thank fucking God. Like,
thought you reached the limit, huh?
Oh, my God. Now, Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg.
The important one.
The important
dude,
fight.
What weight is that fight going to be at, first of all? Because isn't Mark Zuckerberg, he weighs like 150 pounds, and Elon Musk weighs like 250 pounds.
No, Elon Musk is on Ozempic now, so he's slimmed down quite a bit.
He's
on Ozempic?
What's that?
You don't know what Ozempic is?
What is
no.
that?
It's this drug that every woman in Hollywood is taking that makes people puke their guts out and lose like 20 pounds in like a month.
Sounds great. Yeah, that sounds... wonderful.
But that's what Elon Musk is on, apparently.
Lauren, are those new tattoos?
This one is, I got a snake up on my arm. I don't know if you can see him. That's my guy, though. He's on my vine now.
Oh, wow.
And he comes around and he's biting my hand.
Wow. That's so interesting. How many mushrooms were you taking when you got that?
37.
Nice. Do you think the Musk fight is going to happen for real? Do you think it's really going to happen?
Yes.
Well, Elon Musk's mom said he's like not allowed to do it. His mom chimed in, but it's just funny that like Twitter's breaking, everyone's mad, and then he's posting pictures of him and GSP training together. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, this guy, like, this is ridiculous. I hope
Musk said no, though, huh?
His mom said that, Mrs. Musk. But you know, he's got 10 kids with like 3 different women.
What? Ten really?
Kids. Yeah. Good one Lord. One of them is trans, and he doesn't talk to him.
Dude, talk about paying child support. How much child support do you think he pays every month?
Oh my God. Dude. Well, he has it. And he goes, the trans kid won't talk to him. And then he goes, well, can't win them all. That's what he said. Like,
oh my God.
It's so great to be autistic.
Like, seriously. I mean, so Elon Musk, and then now, according now, Logan Paul said he wants to do MMA against Paddy Pimblett on the undercard, which is also, you got a 200-pounder versus a 155-pounder.
Yeah. Well, it depends which Paddy Pimblett we're talking about. Is Paddy Pimblett the 200-pounder?
If Paddy Pimblett shows up at 200 pounds, does he still beat Logan Paul, you think?
Have we seen Logan Paul do an MMA fight at all?
No, but he's got good boxing and very good wrestling.
Yeah, he was a college wrestler, right?
He wrestled for like 1 year in college, but he was like, but he plays third or fourth in the state of Ohio, which is a really good state for wrestling. So, I mean, he's, you know, it's better than, it's probably better than most people in the UFC, his wrestling credentials, just straight wrestling. But does Paddy Pimblett still win that fight? What do you think, Lauren?
No. I don't.
Whoa.
I don't think Paddy Pimblett wins that.
You think Logan Paul in his first MMA fight, never had an amateur fight, still beats Paddy Pimblett?
What's Paddy going to do to him? Crawl up his back and choke him, maybe? Was he going to box with him? He's going to kickbox with Logan Paul, who outweighs him by 50 pounds and has, like, fairly good striking?
Because
how's he going to get him to the ground?
I think he has no kicking. I don't know if he has good kicking.
Yeah, that would be kind of funny to see him kick. I haven't seen him kick either.
But yeah, he's a good athlete. I mean, he's in WWE.
You think Paddy wins? You think Paddy? How does Paddy beat Logan Paul?
I think Adam made the best possible point. That dude's never had a single MMA fight in his life. We're talking about someone in the fucking UFC.
That's true.
Yeah, because that hasn't happened yet. None of these stunt fights have been a current UFC fighter versus one of these celebrities, right?
The CM Punk came right into the UFC. Never, and then we saw how that went.
And look how that went. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. If first of all, if Jake Paul knocks out Nate Diaz in their boxing match in August, I think I'm done with combat sports.
Oh my God! I know. Come on. Like, are they still going to fight in Texas? Because I know there was a thing where like Nate wanted to change what state it was in because Texas is so strict on marijuana.
I don't think I'll watch. I think I'm done. I don't think I'm just going to get right into, I'm going to go into like music. It'll be my hobby. My hobby.
Are you going to become a rapper?
I don't think I can watch combat sports anymore. I don't think the world will make no sense to me. I mean, there's things that like make no sense, like Jay Moore dating Jeannie Buss. Like, there's still things that make no sense to me, but that would just be the worst. I don't think I was depressed when Tyron Woodley got knocked out by Jake Paul.
Yeah.
I was more depressed than Tyron Woodley was. Like,
there's a good chance that he could knock out Nate Diaz in a boxing match, too.
Good chance. I mean, there's a great chance it's going to happen. I mean,
you think he's going to beat Nate Diaz in a boxing match, but he can't beat Paddy Pimblett in a...
No, we're talking about Jake Paul.
Either way, yeah, because I think MMA, I think the one thing that these fights have proven is that boxing boxing and judo, but boxing is one of the least things that you need to win MMA fights. Because that's why Ben Askren gets knocked out by Jake Paul, but in an MMA fight, Ben Askren destroys him, you know? But the Nate Diaz thing, out of all the cool Nate Diaz moments, like, you just think of Nate Diaz coming out to Tupac still balling, and then, you know, tapping Kurt Pellegrino and making a, you know, muscles while doing it, while he has him in a triangle, and beating up Jim Miller, and beating up all, like, just all these cool, when the Conor McGregor fight, which I was there at, when he's getting his ass kicked and he comes back, and just all of that, and then you're gonna fucking have him lose to this fucking kid. It's just not fair. It's not fair.
What about John Jones, Tyson Fury?
Oh, in a boxing and Tyson in an MMA fight?
MMA.
Oh, yeah. John.
Oh, Jones. In an MMA fight, John Jones, like, without even hardly breaking a sweat.
Yeah,
Lauren, how do you do against sparring female boxers that are pro boxers?
If we're just boxing, then usually they beat me up. Like, if we're just boxing, then they're far better boxers than I am. But if we start doing MMA, then I'll be shooting takedowns right away. We're clinching and fucking doing takedowns. And then it's like, then they get their shit beat out of them. So it just depends what skill set we're doing. But yeah, if I try to box a boxer, it's not a good day for me.
So you got into a bathing suit and now you're in a car. Are you Aqua Woman? Like, I don't understand what's going on right now. Like, I thought you were going to a pool, but now you're like in a, are you in a bathing suit? Or are you in a sports bra?
I'm in a UFC, like a UFC gear, like a UFC tank top. And I'm on my way to practice right now.
Got it. Now you got implants when you were like 19, right? You were young. You got implants.
I was older. I was like 26.
Because my wife has implants and she says I have to like refinance them. Like, I have to fix them up. Like, how many years do you have to do you have to redo them?
They, like, when I first got mine, they said that you have to redo them like every 10 years or so. But I've had mine for like 14 or 15 years and I still really like them. So.
Oh, good. And we can take that part out. I don't know if people know you have implants. Just let me know. I don't want to.
He didn't even miss a beat and answer that question.
I literally could not fucking care less.
Oh, good. Yeah. I don't think people know about your implants. It's not like a well-known thing. A lot of people everyone needs to know. I need to let everyone know.
Yeah. I feel like everybody, like a lot of athletes have implants. A ton of female athletes have breast implants.
There's a documentary on American Gladiators on Netflix, and they were talking about that. They're like, when you're that muscular as a woman, you need the implants. Otherwise, it just looks weird.
Yeah. When you fought Miesha Tate and you were on top, did you feel them rubbing together at all?
I never got on top of her. We were in the clinch a little bit, but I wasn't thinking about my breasts or hers at that moment. I was just trying to win.
That was a huge win, by the way. That was like, I feel like they were trying to really push Miesha on that. I think they were like trying to, like, UFC, like Miesha was trying to, they were putting her as like the A side. And yeah, I think you really spoiled the party on that one. Do you feel that, boy?
I know. I feel like that's like the story of my career, is like spoiling people's parties and like kind of shining through when people think I won't, you know what I mean? So that was a cool one. That was a good win too, because it wasn't close. You know, it was so clean and everything just went so well. Like, nobody could bitch about it and be like, I don't know, I thought Miesha won. Like, nobody could do that. So it was a good night. Good memories.
Now, is your friend Aurora a real person? Because she has this friend, right, who is like, Bill, she's beautiful and she's always like in the woods or like on a mountain and there's flowers everywhere. And her name is Aurora, and there's like a weird, I don't know, band playing behind her. And every time she fights, Aurora comes up and like they're best friends, but I never actually know if this person really exists.
You haven't met her? She's like a pixie, you know, she's like a fairy godmother.
Yeah.
You
know? is she a fighter too?
She's a real person. She's a great person. So actually you'll have to like bring us on the show. She's so fucking smart too. So
is she a fighter?
No. Mm-mm. She's a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah, she's from Alaska. Both of them are like hippies from Alaska. and she was there for Lauren when Lauren was going through her hard times. And I think she probably partied too pretty hard back. She was like that cool girl in high school that was like into the Grateful Dead, but like hot. And it was like smoking stuff that no one ever heard of. She probably dated a guy who was like 30 at the time, and she was like 17, and he was
and you hated her, but you had a crush on her, but you hated her.
Yeah. And everyone liked her, but you just no one could get her because she was just always talking about shit that was way too deep for you. Like, you know, like you were trying to like hook up with her at a party, and she's like, "So what's the meaning of life?" And then you're like, "Yeah, fuck this, I'm not gonna deal with this." You know,
this is too deep for me. I don't know.
Well, listen, so who are you fighting next?
I don't know. I'll probably fight next year. And I just, you know, whoever's in the top 10 at the time, it's kind of a cool time, like, to be a flyweight because the division is getting really deep and it's really exciting. And we have a ton of, like, ton of good fighters in it. So I need to get these businesses here in Texas established. And then I have some, like, jiu-jitsu goals I want to achieve. I want to go to Worlds this year. I want to try and win hands in Worlds. Yeah, so that's my goal for jiu-jitsu this year. And I keep putting it off to fight. And, like, this year I'm like, no, fuck it. I got time. I'm going to try to win my jiu-jitsu Worlds this year. And then early next year I'll fight.
That's awesome. Well, I'm always going to be your biggest fan. I wear my Lucky Lauren shirt everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm the biggest fan of you and your husband. You guys and how's Max?
Dude, he's doing really good. He's up in Alaska. He's adulting. You know, he's like 22. He just turned 22, and he's like figuring it out, man. So
wait, who is Max? Your kid?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have a 22-year-old kid? I thought you were like 32.
Dude, he's like older than some of the people in the UFC. If Max has a kid anytime soon, then I'll be the first grandma in the UFC.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah. Luckily he doesn't have a girlfriend. So luckily I don't think anybody's going to turn up pregnant for a while, but I'm just saying like that would be crazy. That would be my luck too. You know?
That'd be good marketing.
Be the first grandma.
You'll be the BGF, the baddest grandmother fucker.
Yeah. So, grandmother fucker.
Bill, what do you got coming up?
Oh, well, I'll be headlining the Reno Laugh Factory the 13th through 16th. If any, there are a lot of fighters up in Reno, right?
Yeah.
Fight fan?
There are.
Yeah.
And then what, any TV shows coming up?
I mean, you know, I'm doing, not for a while, but the prequel to Yellowstone comes out in the fall. And then the other two on HBO, if you want to see me bald, looking crazy. Right.
That's awesome. And then what happened? Somebody tried to fight you and you threatened them. You're like, I'm a black belt on stage. What happened? At the Laugh Factory?
No. It was, you know, I hire these guys from the Philippines to do my bit, my clips. Cause I just can't bother looking at them.
Yeah.
And then they just put the stuff up and it was like the dumbest bit where someone says something. I go, hey, shut the fuck up. And then a bunch of people commented, that's how you do it when you're a jiu-jitsu black belt. But I was like, what? No.
I have a guy. So anyway.
Has it ever come in handy being a trained for you in terms of a heckler? Have you ever had to like dismantle a heckler?
No, I've gotten into a fight with a comic who punched me in the face after I got off stage and then I beat the shit out of him. And then I also beat up a comic. Yeah, then I also beat up a comic in Africa, but on a military tour, which this guy just kept fucking picking on me, and he said, calling me all these names, and I was like, dude, I took his hat and snuffed him, and then I over-undered him and just like hip-tossed him on his head, and I was like, who's a bitch now? And then the troops had to break it up, and then the Sergeant Haggerty took us, this is in Djibouti, Africa, took us in a bathroom, and he's like, I'm going to treat you like my boys, I'm either going to take your money or punch you in the stomach. So he punched us both in the stomach. But the guy was like, I deserve that. So, I've had more fights with comedians than actual.
Who was this comic in Africa?
Oh my God.
This guy named Little Bro. It was Little Bro. And then afterwards he never fucked with me after that.
Of course not.
Yeah.
But, Lauren, enjoy the weekend. Bill, you're the best. I'll see you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot, Adam. Talk to you guys soon.